So we are in the first Sunday of May. We're going to do, this is the Walking Worthy class. And we're going to be studying the story of Cornelius this morning. This is a neat story in the Bible. And there's a lot to this story, and I will not do it justice today, because we would need several weeks to really dig the details out of this story. But we'll find it in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to see the story of two men who showed their faith. But before I get started, I do have a card for Mark. I believe it's your birthday coming up.
Thank you.
Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And that's from the class. And so we will try to get everyone's birthday to the best of our ability.
Mine was in February.
Yes. And if we miss you, I'm very sorry. Because it's probably going to happen. But then next year's coming around. But I want all of you to know we care for all of you. And we will try our very best to wish you a happy birthday in some way, some form. And so, but thank you for letting me know that, Paul. And we'll do our very best. Okay. And so I handpicked that card myself for you.
So. I can tell.
Okay. Hopefully you like that. You could tell I did that, huh? Okay. Well, you guys mean a lot. You guys are probably in here the oldest, the longest, let me put it that way. The longest members of this class. Right, correct? Okay. So we want to honor you for being here. I'm not saying you're old, but for all those years you've been here, and we want to thank you.
I thank you for paying us to be here. Okay. It's been really great.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on with that comment. So. Okay. All right. Acts chapter, what did I tell you to turn?
10.
Okay. Acts chapter 10. But again, we do appreciate you guys and all your service, all your hard work, and your friendship. Okay. So, the story of two men who show their faith in the Bible, and faith is defined on your outline, and I may tweak this every week. You may go, well, wait a minute, you just kind of defined faith last week. Well, I'll just kind of tweak it a little bit more. Faith is defined, I will define faith as defined as an outward action based on an inward, and you have a blank there. What would you put in that blank? Any suggestions?
Belief,
you nailed it. Good job, Roger. Faith is an outward action based on an inward belief. You know, a lot of people use the word love very loosely. You know, well, I love my wife. I love apple pie. Okay, so now, come on. Now, do you love them both the same? Or I love watching the Royals on TV. I mean, it goes all over the place. And faith really is kind of the same way. It's a term that we go, well, I have faith. Does your faith show? Because faith is an action, just like love is. And so I define faith as an outward action based on an inward belief. Okay? And so in Acts chapter 10, we're going to read the story about Cornelius, but it's also a story about Peter. So don't miss that fact. It's a story of both of these men and how they respond to what God tells them. Now you would think Peter, you know, being who he is, should be the example, but sometimes Cornelius is doing a better example of showing his faith than Peter does. And so it's basically a learning experience for both of them. So let's go ahead and I'm going to read the chapter and then we'll back up as normal, as I normally try to do, and explain basically the facts. So really what I am, I'm more, you know, a preacher or a teacher is more like a Columbo or a Joe Friday. Remember the old show Dragnet?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see how old we are. the old show Dragnet, and Joe Friday, you know, he'd talk to some lady that saw something at the scene, and he goes, well, what did you see? Well, let's see. First of all, I was on my way to the beauty shop because, you know, my cousin Marjorie owns the beauty shop. He goes, ma'am, just the facts. I want to know the facts. I don't need to know all this other stuff, you know. And that's kind of what we do. Just what do the facts say? And if I have any illustrations or anything that throws on top of it, just throw them out the window and stick with the facts. Stick with God's word. So Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, I don't know what kind of music he played. But, you know, I don't know if it was rock or soul or no, I don't think. That wasn't that kind of band, was it? Number two. So just forget that, too. It's just kind of bad. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And I want to stop here for just a second. Do you see how detailed the Word of God is? It keeps putting all these little details in. And again, what are the facts? That's what we need to look at. He says, verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And so that's one reason you shouldn't take real long making food. Get it done, because guys are hungry. I don't know, have any of you fallen into a trance while you're waiting for dinner? Oh, well. Okay. Verse 11, he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 16, and this was done, what's it say? Thrice. Apparently, Peter's a little hard-headed. He had to be told three times. Don't miss that. And the vessel, verse 16, was received up again into heaven. 17. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and he said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet, and he worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "You know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And so I'm going to stop for just a second. That word "published" there in that passage, what does that word "published" mean?
It means spoken.
Spoken or
preached
yeah. Or
proclaimed.
So, you know, the word of our, and the name of our Bible ministry is Word First Bible Publishing. So a lot of people look at that and they go, "Oh, you guys print the Bible." Well, number one, we don't print it. We buy the printed material. We assemble the Bible. But the whole goal that we're doing is we're not just publishing a book. We're declaring God's Word. So the word "publishing" basically means declaring. Okay. And so, newspapers publish. Well, they're declaring the news. We publish the Bible. We are more than just putting it in ink and paper and sending it out. We are declaring it with our words, with our speech also. So I just wanted to throw that out, because I deal with that on a constant basis. Verse 37, let me read this again. "That word I say ye know, which was published or declared throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the words, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, and then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So basically, we look at this story and we see Cornelius gets saved, basically. And not only that, his house gets saved. And so we're kind of in a transition period between the Old Testament, New Testament, and getting the message out. And this has been several years after Christ has risen and went back to heaven. And so, but we're at the early church, and so things are changing here. And the Lord's trying to help the situation out here with this story to get his plan in force. And so let's go back and just kind of dig into the details of the story. So in Acts chapter 10, number 1 on your handout here, I have Cornelius, a prepared sinner. God had prepared him to get to the point where he would listen to God's message. So in this story, Cornelius is a prepared sinner. And so first of all, I want to look at Cornelius the man. So the Bible says he was a certain man. You'll see that word certain several times when Jesus gives out a parable to let you know that it's not just somebody, that there really is a man. When it says certain, this is no allegory, this is no story. This is a story, a true story about a specific man. There was a certain man, a specific man who was a Roman centurion. Now what is a centurion? He's a soldier. And not only is he a soldier, he's a Roman soldier. And a centurion was in charge of about 100 soldiers were under his command. Okay. And it talked about the band there, the Italian band. And so you get a feeling that this guy may have been Italian. I don't know, but he's in charge of what they call an Italian band. So I'm assuming a lot of the men in this group were from Italy. Okay. And so, but not only that, you've got another blank there. It says he's a blank. And you guys know the story, so do you tell me what you think fits in this blank?
Gentile.
He's a Gentile. He is a Gentile. And, I mean, you talk about somebody that the Jewish people hated. Number one, Gentile. Number two, he's Roman. Number three, he's a Roman soldier. That would be at the bottom of the list for the Jewish people, because of being oppressed by the Romans and the government and the soldiers. But here we have a soldier, let's keep going, who was a devout man. The Bible calls him a devout man. Let me get back to chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, verse 2, a devout man. Okay? Now again, I don't use big words, so I have to go look up that word devout. And so what I found out is he's an earnest man, and I would basically call him a religious man. Do you know any religious people that are very devout and very sincere? There's a lot of people that are under false religions that are religious. They're devout, but you fill in the blank. It says he was a man who feared God. Well, that gives you a little more about his character. He was a man who gave much alms to the people. So that word alms there I'll just give you what I was thinking. I was thinking alms was basically offerings. It could be offerings, but basically what he was a charitable man. He would give to charity. Because let's look at the text here. It says, verse 2 again, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to who does it say it goes to? The people. He was very charitable. Okay? He was a charitable man. So here's a man with, no wonder the Jewish people liked this guy, who should have been an mortal enemy, but when they looked at him, he's devout, he fears God, and he gives to good causes. And also he was a man who prayed always. So I mean, there's some very good traits this man had. Okay. But I throw the last little bullet point in here is my thought. But he was a lost man. With all these religious things that he did, with the character that he had given to charity, praying, all those things were great, but he was still lost. Okay? So that's Cornelius the man. Let's look at his actions. So he saw a vision at the ninth hour. Now, what time is the ninth hour, guys?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Was Christ was on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour, correct? That's how I kind of remembered that. So that would be our 3 p.m. And an angel coming to him and speaking his name. Now you think that got his attention?
Yeah.
It would get mine, you know? And so he's praying, but I think he sees a vision. Okay, and first of all, the next bullet point is he's afraid. And he replied, "What is it, Lord?" In fact, let's go look at that. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, verse 3 of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying to him, Cornelius, number one, he calls him out by name. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and he said, "What is it, Lord?" That's real similar to what Paul said when the Lord met him on the way to Damascus. So in my Bible, if you just turn a page back to the left in chapter 9, you can see Paul here and look at his response when he meets the Lord. In fact, we'll just start verse 1, chapter 9 of Acts. And Saul, who we know God changed his name to Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, so that if he found any of this way, where they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Man, he's on a mission. Okay, he didn't know it, but he really was. He's going to be on a mission from God, kind of like the Blues Brothers in just a minute. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Very similar to what we saw here with Cornelius. Cornelius basically asked the same question. He replied, "What is it, Lord?" And so the angel gave him, back with Cornelius, he gave him the Lord's command in verses 4 through 6. Okay, let me read that again, verse 4. And when he looked on him, he, Cornelius, was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before God." God was hearing this unsaved man's prayers. Verse 5, and now he gives him... He gives him some words. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to know. Is that what your Bible says? If it does, we need to get rid of it. What you should do. Everything in this story goes back to being obedient, because being obedient is connected with the faith, your faith. We can't really show our faith without being obedient, okay? And so he gets the message, okay? And basically here, is this a suggestion that he gives him? This message is from the Lord. He says, you need to do this. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. The word that the angel is giving him is, this is what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to think about it. He doesn't want you to, you know, continue to watch your TV show and then, you know, eat dinner and then, you know, think about it and then do it. No. And that's what I like about this guy. As soon as this, of course, if I had an angel come and show me something from the Word of God, I'd probably be on it pretty quick myself. But, your next bullet point says, he, being Cornelius, sends men to Joppa to retrieve Peter. He doesn't wait. He does it right away. And that's a good lesson for us. When God gives us a word, when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, we need to respond to that quickly. We don't need to put it on the back burner. We need to do it, okay? When we know this is a message from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of it, we need to put it in force, okay? And so he sends men to Joppa to retrieve Peter. And then, not only that, he prepares for Peter's return. So he is expecting a word from God through Peter, okay? So let's move on to Peter. Number two, Peter is a prepared servant. And so I just have the first little part under A is Peter the man. And this is things that's not in our text, but we know it to be true just reading through the Gospels. We know that Peter is one of the 12 disciples. We know that he was one of the three inner disciples or apostles of the Lord, Peter, James, and John. And we know that Peter was a little rough around the edges. You know, being a fisherman and just being kind of rough, gruff guy. And I would expect he's a little hard-headed, you know, seeing Peter's response going through the Bible. But he was the man who walked on the water. Now, did Peter have any faith when he walked on the water with Jesus? In the beginning, yes. I mean, let's put it this way. Nobody else got out of the boat. Peter did. Even though he might have been a little foolish and maybe he didn't keep his eyes on Jesus, he still was the one that acted. And so he's a little, you know, he did have faith. And Christ, here's the last bullet point. Christ had given him a blank after 3.5 years of being with him. And basically think about, what was the last thing that Christ gave to his disciples before he went up into heaven? The Great Commission. So Christ had given, and Peter was there, he had given Peter, as well as the rest of them, a commission to do. And if we really start looking at this, they hadn't been fulfilling that commission so far. But in this story, we're seeing the tide turning. Okay? So on your next page, I need to get things going here. Under B, Peter, his actions. So again, everything deals, you want to show your faith, it's always by your action. So let's look at Peter's actions. So he went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So what hour is that?
Noon.
The ninth hour was 3. So about noon. And he became very hungry. Can you imagine that? So God is getting ready to use his stomach as an illustration. And if you're a man like the rest of us, That would hit home, I think. So anyway, so he becomes very hungry and he falls into a trance. And he saw a sheet full of unclean animals and he heard a voice that said, go and eat. And he replied, not so, Lord. Ooh. You know, he had done that before. And apparently he didn't learn that. He's a little hard-headed, I'm telling you. Not so, Lord. And he goes, I have never eaten anything that was unclean. Remember, let me stop for a minute. I'm just trying to think. Jesus was going to wash the apostles' feet. And when he came to Peter, he says, you're not going to wash my feet. And when you read that story, it's like, well, no, wait a minute. Here's one of the apostles telling Jesus, no. Not good. It's kind of a picture of us. Or we can be a picture of that when God tells us something, we just flat go, God, I don't want to do that. Have you ever been there? I have. So, I mean, nothing. That's why I like Peter. He's kind of a goofball, but I can fit with him, okay? And anyway, so God is using this, and so he becomes hungry, he falls into a trance, and he sees this, and he says, not so, Lord. He goes, I've never eaten anything that was unclean. And the voice said again, what God hath cleansed, that call not unclean. And then the voice repeated the message once more. So I don't know, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, so how many, I know there's three replies from the Lord. Did the first one count? I don't know, maybe you can do that as homework. Go back and study that out. But here's what I do know. He had to tell Peter three times to try to get it through his head. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a little slow. And, you know, there's been a few times, maybe once or twice in my life, that my wife has had to tell me things again. She's sitting back there shaking her head. She's like, you know. But, you know, 97% of the time, I jump right on it when my wife says something. Just like all you guys. 3%. She may have to tell me three times. I don't know, but anyway, he has to tell him three times. And yet I remember Jesus telling him three times to feed his sheep and his lambs. Does any of this connect with Peter? I don't know. Okay. And so he doubts what the vision meant. And then he thinks about what the vision meaning. He's thinking this through. And he gets some additional information. He says, by the way, P.S., Simon, there are three men are at the door looking for you. Go and meet them and go with them, for I have sent them. So by the time he goes downstairs to check the door to see who's there, and when they are there, he better be connecting the dots here because everything is coming true like he's being told. And so he meets these three men. He finds out their mission. They were told to come and retrieve him. And here's what goes next. So he meets them. Now that's pretty well in line with what should be going on. But the next thing he does is he lodges them. He brings them in and they lodge them for the night. And that's unheard of for a Jewish man with Gentiles. Okay. So he meets them. That was probably as far as, you know, he would have went. But after receiving all this, he's realizing the Lord had sent them. So now he goes farther. He goes further and he lodges them. And then he actually goes. Your next blank is he goes with them to Caesarea, taking certain brethren with him. And that was probably a good move. Bring some other people with you if, you know, to help you out on your, what's going on. So I looked up, from Joppa and Caesarea is at least 30 miles. At least, maybe a little bit farther. So I mean, this is why we have, when they get back to Caesarea, 4 days have passed because I don't know about you, but walking 30 miles plus, it's, you know, you may not do that in a day. How far can a man walk in a day? 20, 25 miles? So 30 may be pushing it. If it's a little farther than 30, it takes a little longer than that. So, but the point is, he obeys God. And it doesn't say in here that Peter was complaining. But he did take certain, and again, there's that word again, certain brethren with him. Okay? Look at the details, guys. Okay. And then number three, let's look at the meeting. The meeting of Peter and Cornelius, verse 24 to 28. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waiting for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and his so here's, you know, this shows you the faith of Cornelius. He gets this, he gets a message from the Lord. He sends the guys to get Peter. And in the meantime, he doesn't just, you know, twiddle his thumbs. He's expecting Peter to come back and give him a word from God. And he's bringing all his family in. He goes, guys, I need you here because we're going to get a word from God, from his man, when they get here. Okay. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and he fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Okay. Not good. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that is unlawful. It is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And I was thinking about that, and I went back in the Old Testament. I couldn't find anything in the Old Testament that said that the Jewish people couldn't have dealings with strangers. But they wasn't supposed to marry them. And they wasn't supposed to go into business with them. And they wasn't supposed to follow their gods. But being friends with them or being acquaintances with them, I think the Jewish people had taken it a little bit too far. And that became more of a tradition than what the Bible said. Okay. And, but God had to reveal this to Peter. And then verse 29, he says, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you sent for me. And this whole time he still doesn't know what the purpose is. And Cornelius said, verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside. When he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God, don't miss this, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And then he goes and tells the story, basically the gospel, of what had happened to Jesus and what he had done, and basically laid out the gospel. So letter A, traditions and laws were overlooked. That's a big deal for the Jewish people. Peter asked for what purpose the meeting was called for. Again, he's a little slow at getting this. He knows God has set it all up, but he didn't still grab what was happening till we really got there. And Cornelius gave the information why the meeting was called, verses 30 to 33, which I just read. And then Peter declares God's word. That's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of this story was for these Gentiles to get a word from God. So word goes in your blank. And as a result, Cornelius and his household were saved. So Cornelius obeys God and he and his household get saved. They had to do something. You know, if Cornelius wouldn't have acted, they wouldn't have got saved, would they? Okay. So he had to act on that and show his faith. Peter obeys God. And he puts the Great Commission into practice, and the rest is history. Because up until this point, the Jewish people were not fulfilling the Great Commission. This is one of the first places you see it starting, okay? Because you see Paul in the chapter before basically gets saved, and he's getting trained, and he's the man that's getting ready to take the Great Commission and really go farther with it. But we see it starting here with Peter. And both of these men showed their faith by putting into action what God had revealed or told to them. Okay, so turn over to Hebrews 11. And let's read 1 through 6. 6 is the key verse I want to get to. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Everybody there? Okay. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is," and here's what I want you to see, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now that fits Cornelius to a T. He obeyed what God said, believing that God would give him a word. Now, I don't know if he knew he needed to be saved at that point, but he knew he needed a word from God, and he acted upon that. Okay. Peter, the same way. When we pray and when we exercise our faith, we got to believe that God hears that prayer and he's going to respond. Okay. But this story is basically a milestone of the gospel starting to go to the Gentiles and to the world. And the Great Commission is starting to take hold. And so this ought to be a picture, a story, it ought to get us going, because it's our faith in us that gets us to declare God's word. Okay? Are we going to the world? And in this story, the Jews hadn't been going to the Gentiles. They hadn't been going anywhere. And, you know, there are churches that are just basically focused on them. There are some churches that are focused on the church and maybe the community. But, you know, we need to be focused on not only the church, not only the community, but also to the world. And this is an example that God is showing for us. Also, for paying attention. Okay, so where's our faith? Are we declaring God's word in our neighborhoods? And are we declaring it across our country and across the world? Because God wants us to go to the world. So we have to do something. We have to go somewhere. We have to open our mouth. So we have to be, you know, like Peter. He was willing to go because he knew God wanted him to, and he didn't even know exactly what he was supposed to say when he got there. So, but he did it, and God used it for his glory. So in our church, you know, we have opportunities that you can go. You know, we're going to go to the park in a few weeks and invite people to that. We have events, we have outward events like Fall Festival that, you know, you can invite people to that. But we also have places that you can go. We have missionary trips. Right now, they need people to sign up for the Dominican Republic coming up in January. So if you're really cold this January and you want a good place to go, I think the Dominican Republic will be a little warmer than Missouri, but that's not the reason to go. But we can be involved in that. And basically, really what we need to do, we need to exercise our faith by going to take it to the streets, by going, by being a part of the Great Commission. And I know you guys know all this stuff. I just want to throw that back out because that's what I'm seeing in this story. And it's because these men exercise their faith by obeying what God says. And so we need to be the same way. We need to show our faith by what we do. Okay? And so I think that's it for today. Hopefully, you just saw a few things in this story that you can use. What we really need to do, each one of us need to do, is just continually be asking the Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? What's the plan you have for our life? And then just do it when He reveals it to us. And then we'll be involved in being a part of the Great Commission. I thought a few years ago, I thought, now how do I know if I'm doing what's right? How do I know if I'm obeying God and doing what's right? And it just, it's like the Holy Spirit just hit me. He says, are you fulfilling the Great Commission in your life? And that's a really easy test. Everybody knows, pretty well knows the Great Commission if you know the Lord as your Savior. So just ask yourself, am I fulfilling the Great Commission in my life? And is there anything I need to fix or anything that I need to do to achieve what the Lord wants me to? So that's, I think, what we need to be at. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we just thank you for, again, loving us. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the illustrations, the people that are just like us, Lord, that have doubts, that have problems, that may be religious, but Lord, and we know people like that, but being religious, giving money, being involved, all of that is good, Lord, and we need to be doing it, but that doesn't make us saved. It's by trusting you that makes us saved, and that's the message we need to get to those people, whether they're religious or maybe, you know, they're totally separated from you, Lord, but I just pray that you would give us open doors so we can give a word from you, the gospel, to the people that need it. And I just pray that we would see people come to know you as Lord and Savior as a result. So I pray for that today. I pray you give us a great day. Give us a good week, Lord, and just help us to realize that we belong to you and that you love us and that you're there for us and that we can bring all of our cares upon you. And you have a plan for our life, Lord. And I just pray that we would do that plan. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen.